Welcome to Food Neighborhoods on Monocle 24. I am Markus Hippi. All cities are various, the locals love for their food and drink offerings, and in this series we get to know these places. This week we head to South Africa's largest city, Johannesburg. It is not known as a destination for foodies yet, but a recent influx of new restaurants is upping the variety available. Those in the know often head away from the smarter suburbs, as you can find great food from the ethnically diverse sprawl of downtown Joburg. Sifiso Ntuli runs tours in the city and also owns local eatery, the Roving Bantu Kitchen. Monocle's Gavin Fisher went to meet him at the restaurant.
One of the things I learned over the years, when you talk about South Africa, often when the name South Africa or the word apartheid is thrown in the mix, we always think of black and white. It all becomes racial. One of the things we don't usually talk about is, let's assume there was no apartheid. What would have South African cuisine been like? So here, we call it a kitchen, but me and my brother Yasisil, we call it, it's a laboratory. It's a laboratory of, at various levels. On the one hand, food. It's really a supper club, it's not a restaurant. It's, we're trying to experiment on the notion of what would have South African food been like. African people are generally a very colorful bunch. And so this is it. And it's full of all these various images with all these posters that I pick up on the road. So we're trying to break away from the black, the white, the yellow, the green, and all of it to create a South African nation. This is our imagination of what a South African space would look like, as opposed to the Euro-American spaces that we will find everywhere. Like the places that I'll go with you, it's places that are not necessarily Euro-American spaces.
If someone hasn't been to downtown Joburg, to the area you've set up your restaurant, what can they get from the food scene here?
The food that you'll find in general in most of restaurants, it's not black, it's not white, it's not Zulu, it's everything. Here at the kitchen, as opposed to a risotto, we have an afrotto, which is a combination of samp, crushed corn, red kidney beans, and mince with spice, and it's really funky. And then we'll have like dumplings stuffed with tripe. South Africans love dumplings and they love tripe, but it's like two separate things. So we're trying to work on the various, there are no sacred cows. However, we do have actually a lot of indigenous foods. For example, that's one of the people who did ting. Ting, which is sour, it's fermented like the Ethiopian jira. Some of it is totally plain. The Zulus are the Vumpogoko. And of course, then there's curry. Indian people have been in South Africa for many moons, more than a century now. There are many Indians that are from Southeast Asia, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, that have since come to South Africa. If you eat their food, which is the norm now, in the Indian restaurant, the spice is totally different from the South African spice, which the South African spice is a combination of, you know, all the various slaves that came to this country and the indentured laborers. And they develop their own spice, which is uniquely South African. That's Archie's. Where we're going to go now, to Archie's.
So the name, the Roving Bantu, for people who don't know what Bantu means, you can explain exactly what that means to you and what that means to everyone else.
A Bantu simply means people. Watu, Bato, Kasesotho. The various, a Bantu means people. Umuntu is a person. But typical of colonialism and apartheid and all the isms from Europe, even those words were turned to be dirty words. It came to mean black, came to mean non-believers, came to mean the black, you know what I mean? Even the word, it's about liberating even the word Abantu. What does Bantu mean? Abantu means people. But furthermore, it's about, we have always moved. We're like a nation of drifters over time. You know why? Because where we come from, in our own home, there was no place to go to. Why? Because there, the hounds of apartheid were howling with a piercing loud howl.
And that movement is kind of informing your food, I guess.
It's informing my food, yes, because it's a reminder to present and future generations that we've always been on the move. Maybe someday we will rest. Maybe someday we'll stop being roving Bantus.
Should we do a little bit of roving ourselves and go out and see some places to eat?
Off to Archie's.
Off to Archie's.
We're now at Archie's. You see, yeah, this, I love coming here. This to me is like my home, my other home. because these guys are South African. The food here is not Pakistani, is not Bangladeshi, it's not outside. This is our curry. And yeah, what else can we say? I just love it here.
Well, let's go inside, shall we?
There we go.
You're talking about a kind of South African, Indian influence, but inside there are kind of...
You could be anywhere.
Pool tables. It's got a little bit of like
a pub in London.
It's kind of got like a saloon bar type thing.
It's like, you know, exactly like a saloon bar. Like it could be like an English pub. But it's exactly what is South African. What is South African? It's all these various influences. But for me, as you can see here, here's the menu. I only look at this section of the menu, curries. Mutton curry, chicken curry, mince curry, kebab curry, prawn curry, fish curry. Now, these curries, the taste of this curry, it's uniquely South African. It's a taste that I remember from my childhood.
So who was cooking it for you in your childhood?
Auntie Minnie. Auntie Minnie was this lady that was our neighbor when I was a kid. She was of Southeast Asian origin, one of the most beautiful women I remember as a child. When I left, when I went to Zululand for a year, when I came back, our neighborhood was destroyed. That's where the time of forced removals, 1969. And I was told that Auntie Minnie had been removed to an Indian township. Now, Auntie Minnie used to make me curries. She used to make me samosas on a primer stove. Auntie Minnie now was gone. All of a sudden, I was told that Auntie Minnie is an Indian. She's no longer my aunt. I got so angry. So, yeah, this place reminds me of growing up with people like I, and many other South Africans that I grew up with, you know, from when I was a child.
So people think of downtown Joburg and they might think of it being not that safe necessarily, somewhere that they might need to be more of a local to visit. But you feel like people could come here from outside, they could come here and be welcome and to experience the food?
My brother, if I want to tell you what is Johannesburg, if you want to know what is this country, then you come to places like this. What's safe? This is as safe as they come. Safety is all what you make. It's fear. You cannot live in fear. So, yeah, it's safe.
From curry to fish.
We're going to Le Camerounaise. We're going to Yeovil. Yeovil, which was initially very Jewish, now very African. And the people from the Cameroon, from all over Africa, live in Yeovil. And one of your specialties is fish. That's where we're going now.
So you were going to take me for fish, and we just drove past. This is Nicky's.
Yeah,
and we just drove past, and you said we have to go in there as well. What kind of food are we getting in a place like this? It feels quite like a jazz bar or something.
It is a jazz bar. Look at the stage. There. Look at the grand piano. Here, I can come and have great African food, South African food, and listening to great jazz, to great music. That's what this place is about. I'd come here for dumplings, for tripe, for mushu, for, you know, crushed corn with beans. The food that makes my soul smile. So it's between the food and the music.
So we can't come to Nicky's without talking to Nicky. So how long's the restaurant been going?
Since 1995, we opened our doors in February 1995, so we've been around for 22 years now.
And food and jazz?
Food and jazz, good food and jazz. Home away from home, the original home of jazz in Jersey. We cook very nice stews, pochikos, it's called pochikos here in South Africa. We have your oxtail stews, your tripe, dumplings, mosho. It's a fusion of all our, you know, South African food.
We're taking a bit of tour of downtown, the different places to eat. How would you kind of describe what people can get from coming to a neighborhood like downtown and food? It seems to be such a mix of different things.
It is. It's a good mix. You find different restaurants in downtown, but mostly you'll find authentic restaurants that serve authentic South African food. Yeah, food that people don't necessarily prepare on a daily basis at home, because we all go back home at 5 and there isn't enough time to cook.
And if someone's coming from, you know, not from South Africa, it's a more authentic experience than you get elsewhere.
Yes, yes. So this is where you come. You get your poke courses, you get your nice curry stews, you get your
do you scare people with the tribe?
No. In fact, you find some of them are very adventurous. They want to, you know, especially Japanese people for some reason. Yes.
Really?
They do. Yeah, they want to eat tribe. They want to eat foods that they've never eaten, I guess, before.
And there's any nation that doesn't like tribe?
There are a few who still don't want to venture into foods that they've never tasted before. Mm. But mostly, you know, you find people want to taste it. And when they do, they love it.
This place here, Le Camerounais, their food is affordable, tasty, and really nice. It's like, I wouldn't say cheap, it's affordable.
A lot of these places we've been, they're not bells and whistles, they're kind of straightforward places to go and enjoy yourself. And we look around, I mean, there's the Cameroonian flag on the wall, it's kind of a corrugated iron roof. You know, it's not sort of plush or posh or anything, but that's the kind of sense you get, is there's somewhere to come and not spend too much money, but really get value for money.
I come to these places because I don't feel like I've been extorted from. If I go to Soweto, if I eat in Soweto, boiled, deep fried, generally horrible, parading the South African food, whatever that may mean. It's really racial food, very expensive. You know, offcuts that are so expensive. Here, good food, food that's been tried and tested over many generations. They just sell one thing and one thing only, it's fish. Fish on the grill, bright fish as we call it here. Because essentially what they serve you is what they eat back in Cameroon. Oh, and they have an amazing way of eating. You know, they have like, on Sundays I think, whole families come here. And they'll have like a big pot. And everybody digs in from the pot into your dish. Something we South Africans don't do. You know, like they share an entire pot with people that don't necessarily know each other. You know, people, we get closer through food, and until we South Africans eat together. Oh, I love Brenda. That's Brenda on the background. Until we eat together, we will remain blacks and whites. We'll always be very suspicious of each other. And that involves food. Food, where we don't discuss racial rubbish. It's just strictly food.
This was episode number 28 of Food Neighborhoods, our guides to downtown Johannesburg with Sifiso Ntuli and Monocle's Gavin Fisher. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 London time. I am Markus Hippi. Thank you for listening and bye for now.